This is really important that we figure this out.
Get it on the pod. Get someone to get the answer for us.
Steven Seagal, get on the pod.
Litigious man. Steven Seagal, come on here.
These motherfuckers always.
The only guy that's out of breath after one word.
The only guy that... The only guy that's out of breath sitting down. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the X number of do's and Y number of don'ts of auction drafts. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with Tony Steele, Evan Hoover, and Waleed Ismail. This is our second episode recording today, so I know how these folks are doing. Let's get right into it. Today, we are talking wide receiver auction strategy. This follows up our running back strategy, which would have been posted earlier this week. So we are going to start off with general wide receiver strategy, which is how many, and Evan, we'll start with you, how many of your top 10 wide receivers are you looking to get onto your roster?
One.
Just one.
That is all.
Wow. I'm the voice of God. Next. This is going to be a fast episode. Is there a guy or a range of player in the top 10 that you are looking at wide receiver? Are you going for one of these stud guys, one of the top four by ADP, Chase, JSN, Puka, Amon-Ra, or are you sitting back trying to get like an AJ Brown or a Malik Neighbors, Drake London type of wide receiver?
Always the latter, unless one of the former goes for $1 under Proj.
That's right. Proj or Goodell. That's our... That's our commissioner, Roger Goodell. All right. Waleed, how about you?
I told you this year I'm a zero RB guy, so I want two of these guys.
Okay.
So you're my top 10 isn't this list's top 10.
Okay. So who are you looking at?
So, like, honestly, I'm not paying for CeeDee Lamb. I think the problem with CeeDee Lamb is George Pickens is, like, $15 cheaper. And I think their range of outcomes is the same. So I'd rather have George Pickens at that price. Love Drake London. Love Jamar Chase. Love Justin Jefferson. Love Nico Collins. Like, love Sun God, honestly. Like, if I see them going for a little bit cheaper, I'm going to take them.
Okay. What are you both budgeting for your number one wide receiver? What general range of amount are you looking at for a top 10 wide receiver?
$1 less than Proj.
Here's the problem with that. Like, really, it's got to break down to the top five and then the 6 through 10. Because you got, like...
Agreed.
You look at from CeeDee Lamb... Actually, the top six. You got Justin Jefferson is $52. Jamar Chase is $66. And the other guys are somewhere in between. So that's like its own tier break. Then after that, you got your Drake London range where he's going for, like, 45 all the way down to, like, T. Higgins at that $30 range. Then you get the next break where you got the guys under 30 to 20, and that'll vary. So, like, for Evan, he's already told you he's a greasy spoon guy. So he's not looking at the top five guys in the top six guys in that first range. He's looking for that next range, and he's looking for discounts where they come. I, however, do want, like, one of those top five guys if I can get them.
Don't tell me how to feel.
Six. I'm messing with you. You've already said.
So it sounds like
Am I wrong?
Hold on. Comparing and contrasting this to how you guys both talked about running backs, it really sounds like at running back you are aggressively pursuing players in the top range, but the wide receivers, you're kind of letting the board come to you is what it really sounds like based on what you both have told me. Evan, do you think that that's a correct assessment of
let me tell you five guys who might finish number one. Jamar Chase, average auction value, 66. Puka Nacua, average auction value, 64. JSN, 60. ASRB, 59. CeeDee Lamb, 54. Let me tell you about some other guys who might finish as the top wide receiver. George Pickens, as Wally mentioned, 37. AJ Brown, 37. Rashee Rice, 32. Devonta Smith, 32. Am I sure that they're going to be wide receiver one? No, but do I want to bet on them for less $30 less than those top guys? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that's fair enough. So you're going to let it come to you for top 10 wide receivers. Waleed, what about you?
Well, what Evan is saying, too, is like one of the things I always talk about is I don't really want to buy a guy or spend money on a guy at his ceiling, which is kind of what you're doing with those top guys over there. So I'm not going to spend too much money. Like I told you, like the max I'll usually spend on a player is 65. And Jamar Chase isn't a $65 guy. It's going to be usually like Gibbs or Bijan. But at the same time, like they have a high, I feel like they have a higher floor too. I feel a lot safer spending up on a wide receiver than I do on a running back because like just the injury history, like running backs get hurt more. So if I'm going to invest that, like that much of my budget into one player, I'd much rather be a high end wide receiver. But at the same time, like Evan's right. Like there's JSN was a third rounder last year. He finished wide receiver two. Like, you can't you
Puka was second rounder.
He was a first round. Oh no, I guess at the end of the year he was a second rounder. You're right.
Sorry to talk over you, man.
Not for me.
All right then. Cool. Tony, do you have any questions about the top 10 wide receivers and how these two guys attack them?
I'm kind of like having a great time over here looking at these values and trying to figure out how I would ideally budget wide receivers. So I'm looking at like Chase. So if I wanted to pay up and get the top guy in football and I'm paying $66, I could get Tet and Ladd for 21 each and that'd bring me to 108. Or I go Pickens, Drake, and Zay Flowers and that equals the same amount. So like I think it's cool that I have so much availability. Like if I'm like, look, I want to spend, you know, 60% of my budget on my top three receivers, there's just so many ways to get there.
Yep.
And I think that's really cool. And also like I'm just trying to build one thing to do
really lets you know what you're saying is compare rows 10 through 16 running back to wide receiver. The running back market cools off way slower than the wide receiver market. Running backs are still going in the 40s, whereas wide receivers are going for 30s, low 30s, 30. Sure. Like it's interesting how much it cools off.
I mean, just looking at how these prices dip, it's telling me that like should probably be at most paying for like a Barkley or Hampton or Genty or Cook, and then trying to load up on, you know, two of those guys between 45 and 20, and then you can get two more guys in the teens, and that's like Davante Adams or Mike Williams. Like those are good football players, guys.
I've heard of them.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So conversely, top 10 sounds like you're going to let the board come to you. What about top 20, Evan? Is there a point where you start attacking the board, or for wide receivers, do you still let them come to you? Like how many of your top 20 guys are you looking to get?
Top 20. Let's talk about this. Top 20 is where, 11th through 20th is where the wide receiver crash tends to occur. So if people are playing more for all the players in any position in the first 5 to 10 picks, I'm waiting for the cool down. So most of the time, I'm waiting for the cool. I'm waiting for my Davante Adams at 14. I'm waiting for my Ladon McConkey at 21, my Tedron McGlynn for 21. Because it'll probably go for a little less. Unless people are paying less up front, in which case I'm like, yeah, I got to attack early and I probably should get some of those 11 through 15 guys.
But how many? Like, what are you looking at?
Could you clarify, please?
Okay. You have your top 20 wide receivers. How many guys do you want to have to feel comfortable with your roster? two, three,
four.
One.
Four. Just one?
As long as I've rolled the money into my running backs and my tight end, yeah.
Okay. Waleed, what about, absolutely, what do you think?
Oh, I'm going to have three receivers in the top 20 range.
Like, okay, so you're attacking the position.
I'm a zero RB guy. I want to invest in the guys that, like, I think are the best.
History will vindicate you, Waleed.
I think I feel pretty good about that stance this year.
My man.
I'll feel better about it next year if it doesn't work this year.
And these are the guys.
Can't happen 3 years in a row.
These are the guys I'm targeting after wide receiver 20. When I might have one. I probably have one. Ladd McConkey. Luther Burden. Well, maybe not anymore. Devontae Adams. Parker Washington. Yes. BTJ. Killer. These are guys I'm like, I can get these guys. And if I've spent the money on my running backs and my tight end, they'll make my team look good. They'll round it out.
Okay. So what dollar range are you looking at those guys, Evan?
Let's see here. Anywhere between 5 and 15.
5 and 15. Okay. So, Evan, yeah, you mentioned something really important, and I forgot to put it in the notes, but it's something that's kind of a fundamental axiom of your auction ethos, which is the wide receiver market crash. Why don't you go? If you've been following Evan's auction stuff for a while, you're aware of the market crash, but this is for newbies. What is that?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you. So as long as people are paying more for the top end guys, which happens 90 to 95% of the time, there will be a crash somewhere in the wide receiver twos, guys ranked 13th through 24th. And the psychology goes like this. Hey man, I really worry about running back. I really want to get a running back. I don't have a running back. Oh my gosh, I better save my money. Who's up now? Ladd McConkey. Well, I kind of want that guy. Oh no, someone's bidding them for me. I don't really care. I'll pass. Whereas, if I don't have a running back and Javonte Williams is going, I'm going to bid them up. People don't really care about their second wide receiver, the wide receiver twos, because they're worried about their running backs. So there's always, 90-95% of the time, a wide receiver two crash where people are like, you know what, I don't care. Like, I'm not going to bid you up on Terry McLaurin, Luther Burden, Devontae Adams, Christian Watson. And you start seeing guys fall for below projected. And it depends on how much... What?
And significantly so. That's what the crash is.
Usually it's significantly so. It starts off with a little dip. Like right now, well, I'm not looking at Praj. But yeah, usually it starts off a little dip. And then people are like, you know, I'm worried about these other positions. I'll just let Romo Dunze go for less than Praj. For instance, Romo Dunze? I just picked a guy.
Romo Dunze? Romo Dunze, Evan.
Wide receiver one.
My bad.
Can I ask a question while we're talking about this strat really quick? Because I'm trying to follow like the process, right? If we're starting to see the receiver crash, would it be wise for somebody who wants those receivers at a value to start nominating like onesies? Because the market's already crashing, people might be wanting to pay up for your Allen or your maybe like a Bowers or a McBride at that point, and you could kind of push that crash off a little longer and take more out of the pot.
Absolutely.
Sure. Go for it, Waleed.
Yeah, no. Like what I love about what Evan was saying too is I'd like to touch on this because Evan talking about the crash, I have a completely different approach to the crash that is absolutely going to happen. But like, yeah, because the wide receiver crash is like a thing, that's why, like we talked about it in the previous episodes, your goal is to get money out of the pot. Like these wide receivers in this range, you're not going to like all of them. There could be some guys that you're like, I don't know that I think this guy is wide receiver 20. I think he's wide receiver 30. Nominate him. He's going to take $20 out of the pot. And that's going to be $20. That's not going to be going for a guy you want.
Sure. So it might
I've noticed a better return than Waleed, who we disagree professionally. That's our job. Nominate a running back if you see that somebody doesn't have all the starting running backs. Because especially, and this is, you know, this is a tip you only get here. If your league has breaks, after the break, always nominate a running back. Because at least two people during the break have said, oh, my team's pretty good, but I don't have an RB2. Oh, God, I need an RB2. And they will go nuts for an RB2. So I like to nominate RBs. And this is where Yahoo's positions drafted chart, if you hit results, positions drafted on the Yahoo, helps you out. If there's two people who don't have a running back, no, I would nominate them over a wide receiver any day of the week because these people are panicking. And that will knock out, Wally said, that $20 to $30 out of the budget.
A good rule of thumb in an auction draft is the position that has had between running back and wide receiver, the position that has had the most players nominated is the best position to keep nominating players on because people are panicking. The pool and the running back is usually that position, like 9 times out of 10, because like Evan says, people want to push money into that pool. But here's my, and this is why I push back on, like, yeah, waiting for the crash is cool, but because people are like panicking about running backs and you push money into it to get that money out of the pot, I think that's overinflated the actual value of running backs, which means that like Nico Collins for $43 is way too cheap for a guy who, like, he's shown, like, he was a wide receiver one, like, 2 years ago before he, like, he was the wide receiver one before he pulled his hammy. And, like, he's got that ability to be that dude, like, in a way that I'm not sure some of the running backs are going for that same price, too. Like, and there's so much value. So I don't want to wait for the crash. I think there's plenty of value that's already in guys who I think have higher floors and higher ceilings in some of that next year. And I want in on that.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's all about how you view the market, and that's the beauty of auction.
But, yeah, exactly. And one of the questions that I want to emphasize while we're talking about the wide receiver crash, one of the questions I see so much from people when we bring it up in the Discord is, well, are you sure that's going to happen in my draft? Yes.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
100%.
Well, 95% of the time.
Yeah.
If people aren't bidding early, that's the unicorn. And we had a great unicorn draft last Thursday.
Yeah,
Wally and I, where I'm like, oh, dang, this is that unicorn. I'm going to grab some guys. And I grabbed like Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor for less than Praj. And I had stupid wide receivers, and I'm like, I don't care. Right. Like, but yeah, 95% of the time you'll have that happen.
Your team fucked so hard in that draft.
That was a really good team. Thank you, sir.
So, but with confidence, yes, it will happen. With relative confidence.
Yeah. And if it doesn't, it's because you guys aren't valuing the market correctly. And if your league isn't valuing the market correctly, like, just there's no excuse to.
Yeah, you have to understand what projected values are, and you got to look at like what's happening in your draft. And if guys are going for less, then that means that that crash is going to happen later. Like, this is something you have to be actively monitoring if you're looking for it. Because even like even though I'm not like waiting for the crash, I'm monitoring it for sure. Because like how that market is going is impacting like how I'm attacking other positions.
Would you say by the first like 20 picks or so, you can tell that it's going to be a wide receiver 2 or a wide receiver 3 crash based off of like within the first 20 picks, probably if things are going above or below projected gusts?
I think it was 3 years ago. I wrote a little program to predict when the crash had happened, and it was based on the first 15 picks. I now think you can figure it out within the first 5 picks.
5?
I don't know about 5. I feel like 10 is where I can usually feel it.
Yeah, because I feel like five, you could have a hot and heavy market just for the top five guys, and then everything falls apart. I feel like five is very.
I have not found that to be true. I found if it starts hot and heavy, it keeps going hot and heavy.
Okay. Because that's setting the top end, so that actually makes sense, Evan. Because those first five, six guys are going to be setting the top end, so everything's going to get pulled up towards that value wise.
Also, production note. Can we say? It keeps going hot and heavy, setting the top end, be the title for this podcast.
Sorry, it's Roger Goodell. Sorry.
It's Justin Jeffrey. Stop trying to get out of your pun.
No, that was last episode, Waleed.
It was last
yesterday.
Episode. Yeah, we recorded that.
Flows now. It's a different broadcast.
We recorded that yesterday. We definitely didn't record that an hour ago.
Did not mean to go through that Einstein-Rosen bridge.
Wow.
Sorry.
Yep.
I can't speaking say of today. That's what I'm
speaking wearing. Of wormholes.
The Adunze Bridge.
Let's talk about pockets. So we talked about it with the running backs. This is something again, Tony brought it up. It was about wide receivers. The pockets of guys that in an auction draft, you have an opportunity to double tap these pockets that might not necessarily be afforded to you in a snake draft. So what are your favorite pockets, we'll say, of four or five wide receivers that are relatively equally valued that you like to get two or three guys out of? Waleed, we'll start with you.
Okay. I'm going to be honest. I love that Justin Jefferson to A.J. Brown tier. Like, if I can get two of Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Nico Collins, George Pickens, A.J. Brown, I feel pretty damn good about my team. And frankly, like, I could do it usually for under 100.
Okay. And if you're doing that, just to bring back last episode, what are you looking at your running back budget?
Well, here's the thing. If I get those two guys for, let's say I got Justin Jefferson and Drake London, I've just now spent, on average, 52 and 45. So I just spent $97. I've told you I like to go 100 to 110. Well, I just saved what did I save? Hold on. I got to do that math again. I just saved $13. So that's something I can throw a little bit more to my next wide receiver spot, or I can pay up for my first running back. Or I put that money to Colston Loveland.
not drafting him. You just send him the money as a thank you.
Yeah, no. That's just...
Yeah. Holiday touchdown on DVD.
That's right. So what I want to know then is what range of running backs are you looking at is, I guess, my question. If those are your two, if you're getting two guys out of that pocket, because that's a high-end pocket.
It's a high-end pocket, but honestly, I think I might end up with, my RB1 when I'm going for that might be Brees. Honestly, sometimes it'll be Derrick Henry. If I can get Derrick Henry 41, 42... I can go to Hero. If I'm not going to Hero, Josh Jacobs for 27 actually. That's not a bad RB1. Like, we know that, the flower is going to feed Josh Jacobs the ball.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So, Evan, Waleed, hold on. How do you feel about the, I'll just throw out two players here that you definitely haven't said in the running back episode, the Parker Washington, Rome Odunze tier?
Oh, yeah. I was giving Evan a chance to attack that tier if that's the tier that he likes.
Okay. Evan, how about you? What pockets? Okay. Then we'll come back to you, Waleed. What pocket do you like to attack, Evan?
I'm usually getting two back end running backs, between the Hampton, Brown, Walker, Achan, Henry.
We're talking wide receivers.
I know. And I'm telling you how you first receivers. I gotta have the meat for the potatoes. And so usually I get those guys for $90 if I'm bidding up. And this is worst case scenario. If I'm bidding up, I got $110 left. I'll grab Pickens, AJ Brown, Rashi Rice, Devonta Smith, T. Higgins, Olave, Waddle, Flowers, Egbuka, Neighbors. I'll grab two of those for an average of $60. I have $50 left for the rest of my team. I have two running backs and two wide receivers. Let's go.
Okay, so in that case, where are you cheaping out? Are you cheaping out at tight end? Are you cheaping out?
I'm waiting for the wide receiver. Nope. I'm waiting for the wide receiver crash, cheaping out in wide receiver 3. I'm trying to get a Colson Loveland or one of the second or third rated, you know, tight ends like, you know,
Harold Fannin,
Tyler Warren, Tucker Kraft, Sam LaPorta.
Brock Bowers or Trey McBride?
What?
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Flag planted. Y'all didn't invite me on the flag planting show. Y'all didn't invite me on the flag planting show, even though you brought 7 people on. Not bitter, but bitter. Yeah, I'm trying to get Bowers, McBride, or Loveland, and then get my $10 quarterback, get my wide receiver crash wide receiver, and then get my bench. Like, it's great. 2 top 10 running backs, 2 top 15 wide receivers, top 3 tight end, top 10 quarterback. Yeah, greasy spoon, man. It works.
Okay. All right, then. So, Waleed, we'll go back to you with this, the Parker Washington Roma Dunze pocket, which is kind of like, that's where I have found myself in snake drafts, jumping back in at wide receiver.
I love this, like, price point for wide receivers. Yeah, Mike Evans for $11. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's Davante Adams, $14. That's real nice. Parker Washington, Carnell Tate, Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, I I don't mind. Like, if I go, like, that's just why I don't have a problem, like, attacking a Bijan or a Jahmyr Gibbs early on my hero RB build. And maybe I go, like, a Drake London. And then I go with that, like, Zay Flowers tier. Like, I only go one. But getting a few of the guys in that Jameson Parker, like, Marvin Harrison. Like, I feel like if I can get 3 of those guys, one of them's going to hit big.
Okay. I'm going to ask really quick. Are there any, we'll say, top 10 wide receivers, top 15 wide receivers that you think are not worth, the juice isn't worth the squeeze, where they're going way higher than you think they should by AAB?
I think Devonta Smith should be in the Ibuka Neighbors price range. Although Neighbors price range, like, it says 22 now.
Why?
I'm sure he's already at 30. He's going to absolutely, he's got to be at 30 at this point. Like, just based on how, like, ADPs are going, he's going to be in that, like, Rasheed Rice range.
He's good.
Who, Neighbors?
No, Devonta.
I don't know. I think that his range of outcomes is very similar to Zay Flowers, to Ibuka, to Tet McMillan, to Ladd McConkey, but he's being priced $10 more, and I just don't like spending that.
I feel I said this last episode, but I don't like Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Drake London, Nico Collins, because their quarterbacks could self-destruct at any moment.
I mean, Drake London had Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix last year. And he was top 5 in points per game, wasn't he? He just, like, he when he got eight. Hurt.
He was 8th.
Oh, he's 8th?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He had a stretch of games before he tore his PCL where, like, he just looked
unbelievable. I feel like you've made my argument for me here.
What? That he got hurt? Shit happened, and man. But, like,
he was and not Tua.
I like Tua better, honestly, at this point.
I like your optimism.
Like, while he's healthy, I think he's, like, a good value.
I'm going to pull a quote from Waleed, and I'm going to adjust it. I know Michael Penix is bad at football because I've seen Michael Penix play football.
I was wrong about Jalen Hurts when I said that, though. Although, now I'm starting to think I wasn't as wrong as I thought I was.
That's fair. All right. Can I give you a guy that I'm looking at on this list that I think is mispriced?
Yeah.
I think that we are paying probably $10 less than we should be paying for Jalen Waddle.
What's his AAV?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I love.
He's at $27. And I think
he will be injured by week. Oh, sorry, Tony. I stepped on you. Please keep going.
You're good. I just think he's going to end up closer to like an AJ Brown, Rashee Rice type guy. I think that when I'm looking at these AAV numbers, I'm like, well, I believe in my scouting enough, so why wouldn't I go at Chase for 66 when I think I can make good bets on Parker Washington and say I'm super high on Mekhi Lemon? Like,
yeah,
I think, like, I appreciate the pockets approach, but I think even though all summer I've been sitting in that Ibuka, Flowers, Higgins, Ladd pocket thinking about it, why not just go, you know, Chase, Waddle, Parker, Washington, and try to get three of those guys?
I'm worried that Miami traded him because he can't stay healthy.
No, they traded him because they're full on tanking.
Well, he's only missed, I'm looking here after you said that, he's only missed 7 games in his 5-year career.
That's fair. Happy to be wrong because it means something good happens. That's a good thing about being a pessimist.
You got to make space for Caleb Douglas.
That's right. You have to. Jalen Tolbert needs targets, okay?
Feed him.
Tutu Atwell is the alpha. He cannot be challenged.
Caleb Douglas will come up into $1 player.
Dude, Greg Dulcich, year 5 breakout, it's time.
That's right. He's on that Delaney Walker plan.
Has he only been in the league for 5 years? I could swear it was longer.
I think it's less, actually. I think it's like 4.
Really?
Yeah.
Greg Dulcich. The actual answer is whole. This is his 5th year.
There you go.
Yeah. The actual answer is Devon Achane gets 130 targets.
But, yes. But it feels like Mercedes Lewis's career, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yep. Absolutely.
Mercedes Lewis, the last player in the league that was drafted before 9/11.
Interesting.
That's beautiful.
Also, but not yeah, true.
Well, the NF and NFL stands for never forget.
That's true.
Wow, that just short circuited my brain. But I do. I think the cool thing about this dip is that you can still, like, I want to throw money around with the big boys and still only give up, you know, 60% of my bankroll and still get Chase and just bet on my evaluations of some of those mid tier guys. I think that's the way that I would want to approach it.
It's why I love auction, like, because I can build whatever team I want. Like, if I can just. If I can get that range of price points right, like, sure. It's going to be a team of my guys.
Sure.
Yeah, and I would just like to push back on that because it's never left my mind. The stupidest person I've ever interacted with on Twitter, which is saying a lot. Ooh. One time was like no, because I can't get all the top, like, I can't get a full team of first round picks, and it's like, okay, man, sure, you got me, dude. You run out of money. Good own. So
Chase Jeff all the way to Blue Sky.
Yeah, dude. I got out of there, man. I was like, I couldn't show my face on Twitter again. I got owned so hard.
Yeah, fantasy receded.
Which, by the way, I
that can happen.
I know why the fantasy receipts never went to Blue Sky, and it's because I have fantasy receipts at Blue Sky on social.
Jeff got the last laugh.
Oh, that's good.
Outstanding.
I also have fantasy receipts at gmail.com because they're terrible at their shit.
I love that.
Oh. Man. Knock this shit off.
That is amazing.
All right, let's talk budget wide receivers. So last episode we said 3 to 5, 3 to 6, somewhere in that range. Evan, who are your favorite 3 to 5, 3 to 6 dollar budget wide receivers?
We kind of skipped over what I wanted to say, so I'm going to say it now.
Oh, sorry. Go for it. No problem.
It's not your fault. I might have missed it. Parker Washington on Jacksonville and Brian Thomas Jr. on Jacksonville are currently neck and neck. One's going for $9, one's going for $7, and I love it because people are debating who's the wide receiver one on Jacksonville, and it's driving the price down. Because people are like, well, it's Parker Washington. I don't want to bid on Brian Thomas Jr. Well, it's Brian Thomas Jr. I'm in Parker Washington. My man, my people, your quarterback threw for 4,000 yards and 29 touchdowns last year. It's all good. Give me whoever goes for lower.
The answer is both.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Toby Myers.
Wrong.
It's Travis Hunter season.
And you I'm guys getting out the red out pen if you put down Jacoby Myers as the answer. It's going to say, see me.
It's driving the market down for them. And it's really funny because I'm like, they're both great. Like, but I've watched their average auction value go down dollar and dollar over the last 2 months. And I'm like, they're both fine, dude. Nobody has to be the wide receiver one for you to draft them. They can be the wide receiver 2A or whatever.
And I think, Evan, you brought up, that brings up a good point, which is something that we haven't talked about. And I feel that we've neglected it a little bit, which is taking advantage of these questionable situations like the Jacksonville wide receiver room, right? We don't know who's going to be the top guy there. So double tap them both, because unlike in Snake, where you have to make that choice, you can just snatch them both up if you want to and see what happens. And if you want to like waste a roster spot later, you can get Jacoby Myers too. You can do that. But I think that taking advantage of these positions where people are very polarized on one side or the other, Parker Washington or BTJ, it will drive down bidding. Because like Evan, you said, it takes one other person to, you always say it only takes one other person to believe in a player. Well, if nobody really believes in the players, then that's going to drive down the value. And you can take two bites of that apple and figure out which one's going
to. Well, also to booking on that, like imagine people are like, I don't know who to draft, T. Higgins or Jamar Chase. Well, guess how many yards Joe Burrow had compared to Trevor Lawrence last year. But if I was like, I'm not drafting T. Higgins because Jamar Chase is the number one, I would be put into the insane asylum. Like, why are you doing this?
Actually, Reagan closed though. Sorry.
for this specifically, for this cause.
Yeah, for this specifically. For he closed the not taking T. Higgins because Jamar Chase is the number one wide receiver asylum. He closed that one.
Say what you will about Reagan, he knew ball.
All right, I'm done. See you guys.
All right.
Sorry, are we talking about Ronald Reagan or Nancy Reagan?
The ghost.
We got to get back on track. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let's get back on track. Favorite budget wide receivers. That's what we're talking about. $3 to $5, $3 to $6. Any other guys that you're excited about? Tony, you've been looking at the sheet. Any guys in that range that you're really digging based on your evaluations?
I was excited until they all got injured this week.
That's true. Everybody got hurt.
I really like the similar reason that I liked, Tajay Spears is a $1 bench guy. I really like $2 Michael Pittman.
Yeah, right.
For Aaron Rodgers to have like the shortest dropback time in like the history of sports last year, give me the guy that's going to work underneath. I'm not a big DK Metcalf believer, so I think I'm not really going to be starting Pittman unless someone gets hurt or it's a bye week, but if I know that I can plug that guy in that I got for $2 when I need it, when the heavy buys hit and I can get 11 points, like that's a perfect use of resource for me.
All right.
Jordan, that range too.
Really quick. Isn't Stephon Diggs on Washington?
Correct.
Yeah.
Somebody has him wrong.
Yeah. He's $1 because the prices haven't caught up yet, but he's
going to, I don't like him at all. I just, my spreadsheet has him on New England, and I'm just trying to,
That's from last year, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he signed with Washington.
Yahoo did an update, that's why.
I don't do $1 wide receivers.
Okay, so Evan doesn't do $1 wide receivers. Waleed, who are your favorite?
Oh, you know what, actually, Jacoby Lane. Jacoby Lane, man.
Okay. Resident
on your bench fan. Don't ask for results for 6 weeks.
All right. Waleed, who are your favorite $1 guys?
See, I don't think Diggs is going to stay a $1 guy. I don't mind, like, Jacoby Myers at $1. I said, Caleb Douglas, I think, is a nice $1 flyer, starting wide receiver, he could be one of those guys that like you could throw in your flex at one point. Trying to think of guys that I would put. Oh, A.D. Mitchell. Like, I'm not looking, but like, if you're going for $1 guys who might like see volume, you know, have decent floors.
Tyreek Hill's gonna end up somewhere.
I don't know if he will.
Is anyone interested in $1 Keenan Allen?
Not really.
I'm kind of interested in $1 Keenan Allen.
I need a wide receiver, and I have a buck. I'm interested in anybody.
I just think it's very funny that Josh Downs is once again going to end up in the cuck chair.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'd rather bet on $2 Josh Downs, honestly. But it might just be Tyler Warren.
We're doing this again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want it.
Okay, Waleed, let me ask you a question. Who's better, Ladd McConkey or Josh Downs? Because Keenan Allen ate Ladd McConkey's lunch, dude.
Yeah, you're right. But, like, he's also a year older. Like, at some
We're
point...
We're all a year older.
Yeah, but in football years, at some point that clip is going to hit. I'm not interested in that.
I don't know.
I'd rather be out a year early than a year late.
I don't know. I think that Josh
Downs. I get very confused by these guys who sign contracts. Like, you made your nut. Like, just go enjoy it. Like,
it's all they like know, Travis, dude.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, why don't you just put a baby in your wife and have a great life? I don't get what are you trying to achieve right now?
I mean,
win a Super Bowl. That's all he knows.
They love football. That's what it is.
He wants to stand on that podium and listen to Electric Eel one more time, his favorite song. I think he tweeted about that like a dozen times.
Hell yeah. His favorite song is now Shake It Off.
Do you mean Electric Feel?
Yeah, like exactly, but he spelled it wrong a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a good song.
Electric Eel is the China food of tight ends.
I love the Rock of Fire explosion in the Electric Feel music video.
There you go.
I don't think I've ever seen the video.
I don't either.
So there's a guy who, you know who Nolan Bushnell is, right?
Nope.
Don't.
He invented Atari. Wide receiver? He invented Atari.
Okay.
And he wanted to make a pizza joint. And it eventually became Chuck E. Cheese's. But before he did, he found a dude. He needed a marionette. A guy who could program puppets to make the puppets that play in the band, you know, think Chuck E. Cheese, you know, they have the band, they play the puppets.
Yeah, so Charles Entertainment Cheese's band.
Exactly. But before they were Charles Entertainment Cheese's band, they were the Rock of Fire Explosion. And he found this engineer who had a particular, this is an amazing story, he had a particular affinity for making automated puppets. And he hired him, and they made the Rock of Fire Explosion, which eventually became Charles Entertainment Cheese's band. But he had the rights to the animatronics. So when Chuck E. Cheese, you know, when Nolan Bushnell sold it, they couldn't sell that. And the original band was the Rock of Fire Explosion. And so he has this in his basement, this engineer that Nolan Bushnell hired, he has it in his basement. And if you pay him enough money, he'll randomly just put your song to the band. And I've put this on the Discord before. There's one with where they're just doing Usher's "Love in This Club," but anyway, the famous client was MGMT, who paid him to do Electric Feel, and they put clips from that band in the Rock Fire Explosion in their video. Anyway,
damn, how do you know all this off the top of your head?
I was a writer for 20 years, dude. If it's weird, I'm all up in there.
All right.
Okay. What's the route share for those animatronics?
Just Google Rock of Fire Explosion, Love in This Club, or look at our entertainment. Scroll up in our entertainment thing. It's really good.
The route share is great, but they're just running wind sprints out there. Their targets for route run is terrible. So
all goes.
Yeah. All righty. Any other wide receivers that we want to talk about that are bargain bin guys, $1 guys?
No, I feel like we're done.
Okay. Evan's like,
I'm vamping about the rocket fire explosion.
Evan's like, I've been waiting six episodes to say this, and now we're done. So, all right, Tony, any last questions for the boys about wide receivers?
No, I'm feeling well educated. I just would like to put a plea out there because I know the Football Absurdity podcast continues to call Brian Thomas Jr. the BTJ killer, but I really think that he should be on probational Dennis Rader title until he proves himself again.
All right. He will be officially Brian Thomas. No, not even Junior.
You got to earn it.
You got to earn it. You know, you don't even get BTJ, bud. You got to get it all back. All right. I'll allow it.
No, it feels good. This was super informative. I really like the way that we could approach attacking a lot of these positions.
Perfect. So, all right. So we're done with the position. So now next week, what we're going to talk about is building your bench. So Evan has a lot of strategies related to this, more specifically his toolbox bench. And then we're going to talk kind of all in one episode, AAV values and specific targets, kind of putting it all together. All the stuff we've kind of like talked around. So that's what we're going to do next week. And then the week after that, we're going to put it all together. We're actually going to do a mock-tion. It sounds like we're going to do put a mock drafts on tap stream in here where Tony, Evan, Waleed, and myself will go ahead and put it all together. So So for Tony, Evan, Waleed, and MGMT, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.
See ya, onomatopoeia.